So let's do our weekly roundup of all things cultural now. I'm joined by Ruth Barton, who's head of the School of Creative Arts at Trinity College Dublin, and by freelance pop culture journalist Jen Gannon. Good afternoon, guys.
Hello.
Hi there.
Before we get to recommendations, we should, Jen, mention the big TV news of the week, and that is the return of The Den. Were you a Den person?
I was. I probably spent a lot of my young life riding to that P.O. box in 2222, hoping that Zig and Zag would eventually say hello to me or happy birthday to me. It never happened, but maybe this time around it might. So they're coming back after they had a huge success when they popped in for the RTÉ Does Comic Relief earlier on this year, and that just was the nostalgia and action I think a lot of people needed. And I think no matter what age you are, you know, you probably need a dose of The Den this year especially. And so it's coming back in November. We don't really know what format, like it's half an hour, I suppose, from 6:30 to 7:00, they said. So I think it'll
on
be
Sunday
the old
evenings,
on a Sunday
think,
evening.
Yeah.
And it'll be like the old times. I think like the weird thing about The Den is it's in pop culture DNA for Irish people, because like essentially when it started as Dempsey's Den, they were there just to facilitate the TV shows like The Broom Cupboard on BBC. But with BBC it was more polite and more proper. But this was anarchic, like when you had Zig and Zag, and they actually became more popular than the shows they were presenting.
And then there was this bizarre thing where they would get like big interviews of people like Mary Robinson and everything.
And they could be rude to people. Like no one was safe from Zig and Zag or, you know, Dustin, as we know. Like no RTÉ luminaries were safe. They took down everybody. And I think that's what a lot of people enjoyed. It kind of was cross-generational viewing. If you were a student at home, at that time, or a young kid or even an adult popping in and out of the room, you could enjoy that humour too. And they really were doing it for everybody. And I like the way that it felt like it was always teetering on the edge of disaster. That was the kind of element that you had to it that was, you never knew what was going to happen next. It was very unpredictable.
Possibly because it was always.
Yeah,
and let's hope they keep that sense about it, given that we're all now teetering on the edge of
something.
Disaster.
Yeah.
Ruth, were you a Den person?
I'm afraid not. It just came at the wrong age for me. And for my kids, I seem to kind of hang in the middle of it.
You missed it there somewhere. Okay, well then let's talk about this week then. And Ruth, you've picked a film that, like a lot of films, in danger of kind of slipping through the cracks somewhat now, but it's coming out on Sky Go.
On Sky Go, this is a film that I love. It's called Bad Education, not to be confused with the Spanish film of the same title of a few years ago. It's directed by Corey Finley, and it's an HBO made-for-TV film, but that, you know, that used to have connotations of not so good. This is fantastic. It's got big star cast. Hugh Jackman, who is fantastic in it, plays he's basically the head, and he's called superintendent, but it means something clearly quite different in America, of this high school called Roslyn College. I have to say, this is based on a true story, but you wouldn't believe it. So he is the head, and he's like Mr. Smarmy incarnate. He has got perma smile. He knows all the teachers. He knows all the pupils. He knows all the parents by name. And the big thing about their school is they're getting a lot of the kids into the top colleges. And so the parents want to send their kids there because that's the route into the top colleges. So this is putting up property prices in the region because people can move into the region to get their kids into the top colleges and go there. So everything is, you know, being geared towards this. And the latest plan is to put in a high line that will link the back of the school to the front of the school. And it's a vanity project. It's going to cost millions. And it starts to get a bit of attention, particularly from a young school reporter who says she wants to interview him. He agrees to the interview, but because of it, you know, all this sort of, I must bring out the best in the students, he, big mistake, says to her, you should dig further than just getting a comment from me. You should really look into the story. So she does, and things go really wrong from there, because what she reveals is that there is a massive, massive fraud going on. And eventually, I'm not giving anything away because this, you know, we find this out fairly early on, but it turns out that he has been embezzling money. So has his colleague, who's played by a woman called Pam Gluckin, but she's played by Alison Janney, who you remember from West Wing and a lot of stuff. She's really good too.
And is it comedy, thriller?
Well, here's
dramedy?
The thing: it has moments of real black comedy in it. There's a scene that you might or might not find funny, or might not be able to look away from, where he's getting his plastic surgery, he's getting his facelift. And you see the knife going in. And thereafter, every time the camera's on him, his face is shiny smooth. Yeah. But you see the wrinkles just behind the line. So whether you find, I find that
sounds great. Fun. Jen, bit of Irish interest in the Comey rule, which is coming to Netflix on Wednesday.
Wednesday at 9:00. So, I mean, everybody's been waiting to see, you know, Brendan Gleeson as Donald Trump, which I find quite disturbing because I love Brendan Gleeson. And I'd rather they picked an American actor, just to have as Trump. But what can we do? It's too late now. Yeah. But everybody, as we know, it's, you know, based on the former FBI director, James Comey's, his memoir, A Higher Loyalty, about the Russian collusion, so-called collusion in the elections in 2016. And it's a feature length. It's a double bill. So it's going to be on over two nights, and Jeff Daniels plays Comey, and you know, it's getting mixed reviews, and I think the reason is because America is suffering from PTSD, and I don't think this is going to help matters. And you know, no matter how good
People don't want to see this story right now as entertainment.
Like, yeah, I think, you know, matter how good Brendan Gleeson's performance is, and it is very good, it's always going to be undercut by the surreal nature of reality. And the thing about it is, you know, Trump is very hard to capture because he's a president that was formed through TV, formed through reality TV especially, and he's like every sidekick in a sitcom or a villain in a drama. He's oversized, he's garish, so it's hard to get the nuance as an actual real person. So okay, it's hard to capture.
We'll give people a little flavour of it. We have a clip here from the Comey rule.
One thing I never had to think about in the Trump organization, because I did so much myself, you know, people think we were so big, but truth is I did everything. But now I have to rely on people. I have all these idiot advisors around who think they got me elected. You know who I actually listen to? TV people. Because they gotta get ratings every day. White House advisor can guess wrong, still keep his job. Not the TV guys. A lot of smart people in that business.
Well, you can rely on me, sir, to tell you that
I need loyalty. I expect loyalty.
Okay. Okay, let's move. I'm not sure what any of us make of that. Let's move on. I think we'll all have a look at it anyway out of curiosity. Okay, so that's Wednesday night, Sky Atlantic. Ruth, you're giving us a bit of comfort viewing that you've been enjoying during lockdown.
I tell you what, since lockdown started, every Friday evening, I just sit back, I turn on the TV and I watch Gardener's World. And like everybody else over the summer, you know, I've just escaped into the garden. And I know that, you know, your previous guest, Michael Harding, was talking about beauty, right? I find intense beauty in the garden. And this is something that comes through in Gardener's World because it's presented, everybody knows Monty Don, right? And I mean, I'm not sure if I'm allowed to say, but he used to be called the thinking woman's crumpet. I'm allowed to say that. Well, and he's just fantastic because he's a very comfortable person on TV and he wears his old baggy jumpers. He has the dogs. And of course, like the season started with the death of his dog, Nigel. And I tell you what, there wasn't a dry eye in the gardening community and beyond when poor old Nigel passed. And there we were, surrounded by death and horror, but we were all weeping over this golden retriever. But I love it because, you know, it's about these perfect gardens. And you look at it, and on the one hand, you weep. You think, my patch is never going to be like that. But on the other hand, it's just beautiful to watch these gorgeous gardens. And then what I really liked about this season was, because they couldn't do the Chelsea Flower Show, obviously, because it wasn't on, so they invited viewers to send in little movies about their own gardens. And you got every man, woman and their dog was sending in these films. There were some from this country, there were some from Canada, they were from all over the UK. And you could have a garden any size, any shape. You could be from any background, but you loved your garden and your little patch and you sent it in. And they had a couple of lovely special needs sisters on it. I just thought I was hooked.
Okay, so that's Gardener's World, BBC Two. And people will catch a repeat tonight.
It's repeated, repeated throughout the weekend, in fact. It's repeated a couple of times in the weekend and there's still a couple of shows left before they rake up the leaves and put it away for the winter.
Okay. Ruth, let's talk about some movies on the telly next week. Your pick is North by Northwest.
Yeah, we're back into comfort food again and actually back onto the BBC. BBC Four has had a great idea of putting on classic movies on Thursday evenings. And they've, you know, actually you were recommending Doc Zhivago, I think, last week. And I'm recommending North by Northwest this week because, again, that's just one of my favourite movies. I hardly need to introduce it, I think. It's the Alfred Hitchcock movie from 1959. So remarkably, it's over 60 years old and it feels as fresh watching it now as I think it would have in 1959. Just a quick rundown of the plot, if you hardly need it, but it's the classic. It's the classic MacGuffin, so what happens in terms of the spy thriller is totally irrelevant because it's all about Cary Grant. And Cary Grant is mistaken for somebody else. He then has to go through America trying to find a criminal who actually doesn't exist. And he's being chased by these ludicrous bad guys. And James Mason, an actor whom I loved in his day too, is one of them. I think everybody will remember the crop dusting sequence. So he's lured to a bus stop by Eve Marie Saint, who is the love interest in it. She's the classic blonde. He's lured to this bus stop in a remote place, and he's attacked by a crop duster. And I think everybody's seen that image. And then the other classic sequence is on Mount Rushmore, where she's hanging from a finger from Mount Rushmore.
Okay, Jen, tell us about Inside Man. Mm. This is a Spike Lee heist movie. I haven't seen it.
It's great.
It's on TG Cahir Monday at 9:30.
Yeah, I love Spike Lee. And if you haven't checked out Black Klansman or The Five Bloods on Netflix, you really should. Inside Man is another treat. And it's starring Denzel Washington, Clive Owen, Jodie Foster. It's got a stacked cast, Chiwetel Ejiofor. It's really stylish. It's so fast-paced. It has a brilliant soundtrack, as you would expect with Spike Lee. But it's about, you know, a criminal mastermind who's played by Clive Owen, and he's trying to execute the perfect heist. And he ends up getting a Manhattan power broker played by Jodie Foster. She ends up getting involved in it at the request of the bank's founder, who's played by Christopher Plummer. And he wants her to keep something in a safe deposit box and not let, you know, protect her from the criminal gang. Denzel Washington comes in as this police hostage negotiator, and he's trying to prevent this robbery from turning into a complete siege. Now, it's his least political piece of work, and it's his least personal piece of work, but it's his most polished. It's a joy to watch. It's very satisfying piece of work, and it's action-packed, and I think it's just exhilarating to watch Denzel Washington and Clive Owen just chew the scenery for a couple of hours.
Yeah, cool. That sounds good.
Yeah, I love it too. I think it's a fantastic movie,
And Jen, the big Netflix release this week is on Wednesday, The Boys in the Band. Tell us about that quickly.
Right.
We just have a
Wednesday
little bit of time
on Netflix
left.
So Ryan Murphy, yet again, they are getting every minute out of him for their $300 million deal they have with Ryan Murphy Netflix. So he is producing this, and it's based on Mark Crowley's play and about gay men's lives and like taking centre stage. So basically, it's the 2018 Tony Award-winning revival of the play. It's starring the exact same cast as that. So the cast is huge. It's got Jim Parsons from The Big Bang Theory, Zachary Quinto from Star Trek, and Matt Bomer, who was great in Netflix, The Sinner. And my favourite, Andrew Rannells, who played Elijah in Girls, who's so charismatic and brilliant.
Shot as a play?
It's kind of. It's like the basic plot is centres around Michael, who's Jim Parsons, played by Jim Parsons. He's a semi-employed writer who's battling with his Catholicism. And he's hosting a birthday party for his friend, who's the sleazy advertising exec played brilliantly by Zachary Quinto. And all the party guests are crammed into Michael's apartment. They're all gay men. And it's kind of like an Agatha Christie setup, like, but it's a gay drama. And it's the party it just devolves into this bizarre, emotionally sadistic game where
Tell us what the game is.
Michael makes everyone play this game when they're really drunk, and he gets everyone to phone up one person from their past who they first fell in love with and still are secretly in love with. And this was risky business back in the late 60s, of course, for gay men. So that's what the conceit is. But they do kind of slot in these flashbacks, so the characters are more informed and fleshed out than they would be on the stage.
Okay, that sounds cool. And is it a one-off?
It is, yeah. It's a film. But it's really, you know, it's hammy and campy, but it's compulsive viewing.
Excellent. Okay, a couple of things there to look forward to. Ruth Barton and Jen Gannon, thank you very much. What I'm going to recommend you all do this week is look up the Rolling Stone 500 Greatest Albums of All Time. It was first published in 2003, this list, and they slightly updated it in 2012. I think it's the most read feature that Rolling Stone have ever done. And so they've given it a major overhaul this year in kind of, I think, taking into account the times that we're living in and everything else. And they got 300 kind of critics, music people, people like The Edge and Taylor Swift and everything, all put together their 500 albums. There's been major upsets. The Beatles don't have as many in the top 10 and people are freaking out and everything. So the number one album is Marvin Gaye's What's Going On. An album that actually Berry Gordy, the head of Motown, fought so hard not to release at the time because it was not the Motown sound. So look, we'll finish up today with a bit of Marvin Gaye. Today's show was produced by Owen McLaughlin. Our series producer is Anne Farrell. Researchers by Katrina McFadden and Michelle Brown. Cathal Minogue was our broadcast coordinator. And on sound was Padder Carney. And here's What's Going On.
Hey, what's happening?
Brother, what's up?
This is a big party, man.
Yeah, brother,
I can dig it.
Solid. Right on.